Matthew chapter 13, I'm not kidding you. I promise you, if you start carrying this thing around like it's not a piece of furniture, but like it's your lifeline and you bring it to church, it's going to help you. Matthew chapter 13, verses 53 through 58. I've got that in the King James Bible. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he had come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, well, whence has this man, this wisdom, and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended by Christ. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. And he wasn't able to do, I want you to see that. I want you to understand what's happening. And it's not God. And please let me speak this word to you tonight. And instead, there's two things you can do with this word. You can get offended or you can get convicted. My prayer is that you'll get convicted and say, I'm not going to be the status norm church attender. I'm going to be a mighty, moving child of God. And he did this, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. Unbelief, the killer of answered prayer. That's my thought for tonight. And it creeps up on us, and we don't even realize we're in unbelief. We're just, well, everything is going good. I came here because I know Brother Angelo, he'll be out here at 8 o'clock like he's supposed to be. And I'll probably get one of them plums he mentioned. I guarantee you those are the best dadgum plums. I ate two of them already today. I got a few in a bag, and I'm going to get one on the way out to munch on the way home. But they're real good. But I cannot tell you how much the Lord is longing for us to be excited so that he can move and do supernatural things. I've seen so much in my short little 72 years. I'm going to be 73 this year. And I fully intend to swim the Arkansas River again this year and ride my motorcycle and do everything else that Satan's trying to tell me that I can't do and show him that I can. And that whether he shuts up or whether he blabs his mouth, I'm going to go on, and wherever I go, people are going to get saved. People are going to get healed. People are going to get touched. Why? Because I'm a man of God? No, but because I'm a son. See, before I was ever anything else, I started out, I was a son. I was one of his sons. And I wake up every morning, and before I'm a neighbor, husband, pastor, father, I'm a son. That's the highest possession that I have in this life. I am a son of God. And what makes me unique, I believe that God moves more today, not as much. John chapter 14, what does it say? Jesus said, hey, boys, the things that you've seen me do, you will do also, oh, and greater things.
Amen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Is it too soft? Is it too loud? Yeah, some of these people are.
I was hot, but I don't think anybody else is.
Who's cold? Well, good. Yeah, turn them down. By all means, you can look at these chairs and see we've tried very hard to make you comfortable. And now we all need to try very hard to make the Holy Spirit comfortable in here, don't you think? Amen. So I'm sharing this message, and I want you to let this message rest in your life. The goal of our ministry is not that you become a church attender, but that you become an on-fire person of God, child of the living God, moving and happy and blessed. And that's what we want to see. We want your prayers to be answered. I believe in my heart what I've seen since 1971 is unbelief gone to seed. What I mean is we're lulled into that. We're just absolutely, I think, I have been so frustrated at times and being in the ministry and wondering, and then at times I've been just as unconcerned and uncaring as everybody else. And I can remember days, oh my gosh, the things that I've seen. I don't have the right to be that way. But think about what I'm saying to you tonight. Unbelief is the killer of answered prayer. Unbelief. I was asked about miracles and prayers, and I shared with this person. I said, you know, I prayed for a lot more people that didn't get anything. But never was it God's fault nor mine. There's a prayer of faith that we can all pray. The opposite of unbelief is faith. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, and now abideth faith, hope, and love. See, faith is in there. It's one of the powerful tools that we need to live in this life successfully and fruitfully and bring joy to ourselves and happiness to those around us and be able to bless others. One of the greatest blessings is to bless somebody else. Amen? I'm so proud of this little girl on the front row. I'll tell you why. She doesn't feel good. See this one over here? She doesn't either. And that's half of our praise and worship team here. And they're here. They're here. She said, Kimber said, I'm here because I'm going to sing, Brother Angelo, anyway. I'm going to sing. I'm going to do what I've been called to do. What have you been called to do? My prayer is that you know very well what you've been called to do. And one of your great enemies is unbelief. God doesn't do that anymore. And so many things that all the different denominations have to say against God. Now, one of my dear friends is Abbot Jerome. He believes just like me. And they have, he's been to Rome. Man, that guy's been everywhere. I love him. He's going to officiate Millie and my 50th wedding anniversary very soon. And we talked on subjects. I love to talk with Abbott. He knows what he's talking about. And he's told me of the places that they have exorcisms within the Catholic faith. See, they believe that. See, the smart churches, there's some that they don't believe anything. And we don't want to judge anybody, but we don't want that to get on us. Can I get an amen? Amen. We want to believe that God does. Other words, what are we doing here? I mean, really. If there ain't nothing to us, if there's no power here, what God offers us is Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And I want you to say amen after this. You will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Amen. Amen. See, that's the truth. Well, the Holy Spirit has come upon me and many of you, and we have power. Turn with me, if you would. I'm going to continue this thought, and I want you to just be open to the Word. Just be open. Just be open. How many of you are still open for change where you can get to a better place? Anybody? Okay. Amen. That's so good. Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 21. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down in front of Jesus and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. For he's a lunatic, he's demonized, demon-possessed, and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falls into the fire, and oftentimes he falls into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. They was walking with him. They ate lunch with him. They camped out together. They traveled. They saw what he did. They saw him feed the multitudes with a little boy's lunch. They saw him spit and make mud and put it over a man's eyes, and he could see. And they, sad report. Now, but you know what? If it was in that day with the first 12 disciples, what do you think it could be like now? It depends on if you're in a church that wants and is trying to lead and trying to get the power of God to move in our services. I don't give a rip about numbers. I don't. I'm sorry. They don't mean anything to me unless the church is full of people that are hungry and they believe that God will move and God will heal their children and God will save their loved ones and God will fix their finances. Amen? Amen and amen and amen. Kelly, do we want to ask them and let them have them bring their wallets and purses Sunday night? And we could just take a second. We're going to, how many of you love when we do that? When we ask, when we bring our purses and what have you, wallets to the altar, and we believe God to fill them and help us. We've had so many testimonies about how God did just that. They have to realize, I forget things. I forget the things that's happened. Some of them's pretty important, pretty powerful. You know, some time ago, Kayla showed me a picture of an anointing cloth I gave her with three little babies on there. And at the time, she had no babies. And I didn't put four, and I didn't put two. I put three. Okay? Why? Because God still answers prayer. Prayer. Faith. Prayer. I gave that anointing cloth to Kayla in faith. She took it to herself in faith. If you have an anointing cloth, believe in the power. And if you need to know where that power comes from, go to the book of Acts chapter 19. It's in there. And if Acts chapter 19 ain't good enough for you, then you're dead. If the miracles that Jesus did and him walking on the water ain't good enough for you, you're dead. You're dead. It's hard to help people when you're dead. Well, let's just go on a little further. And I brought them to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Now, what I'm trying to say to you, I'm not trying to heap anything on you. Man, they were running with Jesus, the Savior of the world, and they couldn't do it. And he said, you should be able to do this. Now, if I can say something to convict you and not offend you, I want you to do good. I want us to, you know what? I'll do better if you do better. You'll do better if Kibber does better. Noah will do better if Brenda does better. So on and so forth. Now, then Jesus answered it. Look what he said. He didn't, you know, if we're going to get mad at somebody, if anybody's going to get mad at me, you need to get mad at Jesus. Because he just told it like it was, way more than I do. He said, oh, faithless, faithless, and perverse generation. There's a perversity to not believing God and not walking in the power of God after all he's given us. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring that boy to me. Bring him over here. And Jesus rebuked the devil. See, there was a devil. What people think, it's terrible, Brother Angelo. People don't hardly believe in God anymore. I got one better than that. They don't believe in the devil anymore. So he could just sneak up on anybody that he wants to and ruin their lives. I love what Angel said to me up here last Sunday night. I want my life. This is not my life. God has something better for me. I want to tell everybody in this room, whatever you have, God has more. God has better. He's got better for each and every one of you. And we all need to encourage and prefer one another. This is my first family. I have a brother that I haven't talked to in 20 years, but I have brothers in this church I talk to every day. And I can't help that this is more important to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and the devil departed out of that boy, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now, not everything's a demon, but some of it is. Some sickness is spiritually brought and imparted on people. Some is chemical. Well, how do you tell the difference? You know, you just got to get in there. And the first of the 9 spiritual gifts is the gift of wisdom. And you need to say, when I was praying with my wife, I said, Father, I need the spirit of wisdom. I need the gift of the spirit of wisdom. Put her where they can find out what's wrong with her. She's been in pain for days. And yesterday, when Frank and Kelly took her, they did things a little different, and they got some answers that we need. And we've got some more answers we're going to try to get tomorrow. But some things are their birth in the spirit realm. Somehow something went wrong, and we get involved with things that really they're just of the devil. And the devil came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now listen to this. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart. That means they waited till there wasn't nobody around. And said, why could we not cast the devil out? Because they'd cast out devils before, but they weren't casting out. You know, there's another place where the word says Jesus was in a certain place, and the power to heal was there. Now, you can't get anything done if the power to heal ain't there. I hope you understand that. And people have to be sensitive. What is happening? What's happening in this service? What does God want to do here before we leave? And why couldn't we cast them out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. He told the 12 that were going to turn the world upside down, you are bathing, you are walking in unbelief, and it's costing people their very souls because of it. We need to be walking in faith for our families. Amen? I don't like to see your children suffer, and I know you don't like to see it. I don't like to see my children suffer either. Is it all because of this? No, but sometimes this is what it's because of. Sometimes it is. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, just a little bit, you can say to this mountain of cancer, this mountain of poverty, this mountain of confusion, be gone in the name of Jesus, and it has to go. Amen. I dare you to see how much power you've got, because everybody that wants it has more power than the devil. Everybody in this room. Ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible with you. What's wrong with that? That's what we believed when we moved here from Modesto, California. Our pastor, Mike Dillman, laid hands on us and said we were going to come to this new land, and we were going to change the destiny. We were going to loose the power of God here. And we've done everything in this little short lifetime. Everything that Paris Christian Center has is paid for, by the way, everything. All the land, all the whatever. And there are healings that just unexplained. Healings is an unexplained miracle from God. If you can explain it, You got it from a doctor. You didn't get it from Jesus. And God wants to use that power in your life. He wants to ride home with you in your car. And he wants to help you. He wants to let you know he loves you. And you are the reason. You are the reason that Jesus, you are the reason that Jesus died on the cross. Each and every one of you. And he didn't just die on the cross. Dear God, when he rose up on that third day, when he rose up in power. And in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all gathered together in one place in agreement at one time. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake type of a thing and a great sound. And they each saw tongues of fire lighting on all 120, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, the disciples. And they all spake in tongues. Now, before that happened, in John chapter 20, Jesus appeared to them and said, receive the Holy Ghost, and they were born again. But this was a second act, which is where this is the second act of grace, a second blessing from heaven. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in other tongues. Now, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible with you. Now, hear this, and I'm going to try to explain this. Howbeit, this kind that you couldn't get rid of, goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. There are some things. Is there anything in your life, in the lives of your kids, your parents, the people you love, is there anything worth praying and fasting for? Is there anything? I'm telling you, if you give your best to God and you get on your knees and say, I'm not getting up until I get what I came for, it's coming. It's coming. Unbelief is the killer of answered prayer. Okay? Give me Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And I'm just showing you, mostly using the life of Jesus and his disciples to see. And Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men should always pray. See, are we doing more worrying? Are we on the phone talking to people about, you don't know, you're going to, man, I just need somebody to talk to. Let me tell you something. For everybody that needs somebody to talk to, you need to talk to Jesus. You need to talk to the Lord. And you need to talk to him in such a way that you realize he's answered you and he loves you and he's going to help you and he can help you. And I'm going to say this and you can think what you want. I'm just an uncircumcised Philistine. But I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I'm 72, going to be 73, and I'm banking on living out all 120 years unless God shows me different. Well, what if you don't make it? Well, what if I do? What if I make it to live to be 100? You know, in April on the 8th, we're having a eclipse, total eclipse. Now, the next time that happens is 2045. I plan on being here then. You might have to wheel me in. I said, you know, when I get real old and I'm in a wheelchair, just put me out in front of Walmart. I just want to spit at people as they go by. Amen. I mean, everybody's got a dream, right? All the smart alecks. now, let's look at this. We should always pray and not give up. If you're praying about something, please don't give up. Please don't give up on it. Please speak that name of Jesus with power. There was in a city a judge, this is the Lord telling this, who didn't fear God, neither regard man. Now, I've had people bless me. That was the farthest thing from a believer. And I just love it. Because blessings come to me from every direction. That's what I believe. I believe that for a long time. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of my enemy. And at first, and he would not for a while, he wouldn't avenge her. But afterward, this is what he said himself. See, we're all saying something. That's what I preach Sunday night. We're all saying something to ourselves. Though I fear not God, and I don't regard man, but yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wears me out. I'm telling you, when was the last time you bugged God so much that you met this here? I'm telling you, it's not always in getting a bigger loan or a better doctor or more medicine. Sometimes what we need, as R.W. Shambach used to say, all you need is faith in God. That's what this whole generation, I'm in it too, more faith in God. What do we do? We have to shake off that unbelief. And you need to believe God, Ainge, and you need to keep saying it. By God, I asked for something. I came to the altar and asked for it. And God's not going to deny me. Thank you, God. I'm looking. I'm watching to see just where it is it's coming from, and I'm going to grab onto it. I believe. I hope I don't believe as much as you, but in a while, you're going to get what you asked for, Angel. I have never heard you say that. I've been thinking about that, praising Jesus, all week since you said that. That was the right thing to say. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own kids? I'm pleading with you. Are you trying to tell me that God isn't going to take care of you? I'm telling you, he is. He is. It takes the same thing for all of us. And don't feel bad. The disciples were walking right with him, eating Burger King with him, and they still didn't get it at times. Okay? And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night, which cry day and night? If something is really bad happening to you or somebody you love, you ought to be crying day and night, somehow, talking. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now listen to this here. Jesus knew what he was talking about, because the last verse here says something pretty important. He says, but now when the Son of Man returns, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? One of the places where I've seen more miracles and more faith was in the poor country of Guatemala. I was in Chicamula, Guatemala, and I preached at a big rodeo arena. I've seen so many things happen. It just made me stagger. And I said, what's the difference, God? He said, unbelief, son. He said, it's on you too. He said, you better get that off of you. It ain't good for you. I believe that. I don't believe unbelief should be in our life. How do we get rid of it? Well, find out. I'm telling you how right now. This is one of the ways. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Will there be any faith? And what it seems to allude to is maybe there won't be much. Now, I'm just going to tell you, we've got a lot of big science programs and armies and banks and this and that, but I don't see a lot of faith. I don't see a lot of a faith movement. There was a time in my life, Jill probably saw it too, there was a faith movement. I guarantee you, when Chuck Smith was baptizing them kids in Malibu in the 70s, and he was on the cover of Life magazine, something was happening there, man. There was an excitement among young people like me. Believe it or not, I used to be young a long time ago. Last place tonight, Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26 in the New Living Translation. Back to Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. And Jesus, as Jesus was saying this, the leader of the synagogue came and knelt before him. The leader of the synagogue. See, one of the ones that was ridiculing in 1 minute, he got down there and he got on his hands and knees. He humbled himself before the Lord. Yes. And he said, my daughter has just died, he said, but you can bring her back to life again if you just come and lay your hands on her. So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. Just then a woman, now here we go. Now we're getting back to Sunday night. Just then, a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind him and she touched the fringe of his garment, the hem of his garment. For she thought, or she said to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to get healed. I'm going to get something. I'm going to tell you something tonight, everybody. If you can just touch Jesus, whatever you're asking for, you're going to get. What if you can just touch Jesus? We sing about it. We sing how he touched me. I touched him. I'm going to tell you, when that really happens, look out. The devil's going to have to move over. Miracles are going to happen. They have to happen. People's healings, unexplained healings. How many of you, you've been here long enough, you've seen unexplained healings in this place? Things that we don't, amen. They just happened. So Jesus arrived at the official's home. He saw the noisy crowd and heard the funeral music. Now, I'm going to show you an important thing here. And he told them, get out, he told them. The girl isn't dead. She's only asleep. But the crowd laughed at him. After the crowd was put outside, however, Jesus went in and took the girl by the hand, and she stood up. And the report of this miracle swept through the countryside. I'm going to tell you something very important. Sometimes you have to create an environment. That environment is usually in here. That's how come when I was sitting here the other night and I said, look here, if you've already got yours and you got to go, by all means, don't stay here if you need to go. If you got to go, you go. And sometimes you have to get away from certain people that's full of doubt and unbelief. I'm just telling you like it is, in order to see something happen. How many in your life would say that you have seen God answer a prayer? Let me see. Amen. 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 Yes, he does. Does he answer prayer? You're cotton picking. I didn't say anything else. You're cotton picking right, he does. He sure does. He's looking for faith. And you know, sometimes we're in faith and sometimes we're not in faith. That's just the way it is. Now my prayer is this, that you heard enough. I'm going to ask you to take communion in faith tonight. I'm going to ask you to, if you can, to make an altar or come to the altar, examine your heart. We will be out of here in just a few moments.